Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. That's right, underproduced. But, you know, other people do some work. And so I got a drawing, piece of art from another nice person who sends me pieces of art. This one's quite good, a metaphor on, well, a perversion of my cupcake nail in the eye kind of comparison. That's really a nice piece of thought art, in the sense it can represent a lot of things. How much we pay for the hope of the cupcake, every good feeling we have has some sort of reaction in the world that will extract some blood, so to speak, from people who aren't going to benefit from our benefit and are in fact paying a price for it technically. There's no direct correlation often, but kids get cancer, not your fault, but in a way it is your fault, okay? You pro-lifers, you perpetuate the price paid for the whatever, again, the moment of joy, relief, really, satisfying your hunger, some silly passion, some trivial passion, frankly. They'll all turn into cupcakes when you really become enlightened. You'll figure out it's all just candy, okay? Even the stuff you thought was, worth chasing wasn't worth much. Women. Anyway, it's all just, it's that desire thing, addiction thing. It's all just a bottle of booze. But anyway, so, I see a lot in the image. So anyway, it's really I like it. Interesting. Maybe I'll cut it into pieces. Lots of good pieces. So I would attribute it, but I frankly don't remember whether he wanted me to do that or not. So I won't do it until it's he's outed on purpose, just because people pay for it. You can't do this art thing without somebody burning a cross in your fucking yard or something. It really is. We really are just sliding so quickly, so far backward into the whole, dark ages. Anyway, interesting. So at least there's some change. I can't produce much evolution in this channel, but other people can help. So it's helpful. Thank you. And such. So I wrote some notes, just trying to advance the story so far, kind of thing. So people, you see it all the time. They have this desire to defend some notion that life is more than what the evidence indicates. That it's, they don't want to say the word God, but they want to say the word something else, some other mechanism that's doing the hopeful happily ever after thing. There's some writer somewhere writing the happily ever after. We're gonna do our whatever, human advancement through robotics, we're going to singularity as a floating blob of consciousness or something, some kind of crap, that really doesn't have anything to do with the real story, which is you just have this material universe, however you think that works, which is just where I guess a lot of it just goes sideways, because people have all these wooey, controlling ideas, bent space and entangled things and all kinds of wooey powers, going on between the little bits of matter. But the bottom line is the all those wooey powers don't create anything very good. Maggots, you know, they create little monsters with mouths and asses that just go through the materials and consume the other little batteries, the other little organisms that have collected energy from the sun and are, you know, doing their thing and will be interrupted by the fact that they have to be digested and consumed. So you just have these little living things, okay, these little robots, and some of them are really, really robotic, and they have very few control functions, so they're basically a Coke machine. And then you have more advanced ones that have a smart technology built into the Coke machine, and it can do fingerprints, and it can ask you some questions, you know, to find out whether you're a legitimate customer, you know, some other bullshit. But that's all it's doing. It's just doing its reacting, and it's more efficient if it can, you know, do it with a higher level of complexity. So it's just these little robots, they consume and they reproduce. That's the model of evolution, is just to use us as demonstration models, use us as test paper. You know, we're just test paper for a DNA molecule. You'll see if it passes the test, litmus paper. And so the model, the DNA just creates, you know, these little things to be tested. And, you know, if they pass, then the DNA gets tested again. And if it passes, it gets tested again, and so on and so on. And, and that's all it is. It's just a little, winner by attrition. You just keep feeding in a million things and destroy most of them. So a few can sit around and eat grapes and fornicate, and create the next generation of gladiators to be to do battle, you know, kill each other, see the ex-wife as the cupcake, and decide, if the cupcake won't let me have it, then I'm gonna kill the cupcake. Yeah. I mean, you just think of all the silly nonsense that goes on in the world because of people's desire, you know, their sense of I must have. Anyway, so for us it's more complicated because we're brain enabled. Okay, so the simple machines just have basic one reflex, you know, a knee jerk here, a knee jerk there. Nothing complicated going on in the, you know, you don't need a microprocessor, you just need a few transistors and a capacitor or two, and the thing will work just fine. And then we're the version that got a lot more complicated. Okay, so the reactionary machine itself evolved, the brain, okay, and it's again by the same rules, you know, who's the better gladiator, who can go out into the world and get without being gotten, and take without getting took. The brain does that by sensing the environment, so the eyeballs, the ears, the other little ways of feeling the world and getting a grip on it. And I guess you'd have to argue the most important sense is this visual one, because it allows you to see all this complexity in the world. It allows you to see the tree and around the tree and, you know, what's behind the tree and all that stuff. And so they're just reacting reflexes, and all they can do is they can produce an action, or they can produce a thought, or they can produce a feeling. That's what the brain produces. So it just gives you one of those three things. In a sense, it's just overlapping on the world you see, and it just puts new pieces of art, so to speak, in front of you. It changes what you see appropriate to what you've learned that the truth is. So you can imagine what's behind the tree trunk. You can imagine what's over the hill. You can, because you've been there before and you've done that. You can imagine the path you're walking because you've walked it before. You've practiced it. all of that kind of advantage. So it's easy to understand why we have a brain and why it creates these different things, because these different things, you know, make us much more capable of reacting appropriately. That is, in a way that's more likely to be to our advantage and successful. Now, obviously, you can give examples where, you know, passion is very good for driving people to do things, but too much passion, and, oh, that's bad because then you go to jail, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, obviously, it's not perfect, and that's why I have to make these videos, is because the imperfectly functioning brains, some of them are very imperfectly functioning, aren't seeing things the way they are. They're seeing the things the way they want them to be, and they're seeing things in a very primitive and ignorant and childish way instead of a more complicated way. I could use the simple argument I've used before. You know, they're playing the single player game and not realizing it's not a single player game, that they're accountable for every feeling they create in some other human being in their life. I mean, all the actions that the other, you know, how many bad actions they enabled or caused because they triggered it, you know, that they were in some way an essential part of some tragic disaster. You know, without maliciousness, but the fact is that's how it came out, and it came out that way because they didn't do enough thinking. Their brain wasn't focused on the fact that there is that other world. So it's almost as if, I guess you could describe it as a little world of little tiny people living in the soil or something. And yes, you're unaware of them, but you can't change the fact that you're stepping on them and breaking their little lives and ruining their fun. And we're all experiencing that kind of reality because it is a game where it's not about you. It's about the victims, and it's about the winners and then the losers. It's about the whole thing. And whether or not that thing itself is at all running any kind of thing you could call a profit. And that's why I make these videos, is because I think it's clearly not profitable, or not acceptable, it's insufficiently efficient to say it's okay to create these horrific negative outcomes and then claim that there's some positive outcome that makes it worth it, you know, some golden cupcake that we have put on our shelf, and therefore everything is just fine. Doesn't matter how much it costs, because it's just so worth it to look at the golden cupcake. So there's no real hard problem to consciousness. There's nothing, you know. It's a brain. It can create an image. All right. You can, you know, maybe your brain can't draw as well as this guy, but your brain can make an image in your head. It can manufacture one, okay, and it's a drawing of something sort of real, okay, it's supposed to represent, and it can look quite real. You can imagine a whale or something in your brain and see the videotape. You can run a little nature program of the whale jumping out of the water, yeah, so you can do it. Where is that image? Well, it's just in your brain, okay? It's not floating around in space somewhere. It's just in your brain. Your brain manufactured it. And your brain manufactures the thing you call feelings. Now, feelings aren't representing a real whale jumping out of water, but what they're representing is the concept of no and yes, right? So no is a bad feeling, right? No should be a bad thing. It should be a negative thing. No, negative. And so your brain synthesizes, what would a negative be? If I was to make one, okay, like draw a picture of it, what would it look like? Okay, so that's what your brain is all is doing. It's really just the same thing as the image data. It's just saying, how can I manufacture this thing called no, or bad? And it does it by making the ouch, and making the ew. I don't feel good. Yeah, it does that. That's what it does to manufacture it. To just like it manufactures the old the replay of the old video. It can store it the same way. We can store our feelings, and it can manufacture a new feeling. Your brain can draw a new image. I can have the whale jump out of the water, and he's wearing a little, leprechaun hat. It's all your brain is doing is manufacturing these emotional feelings. And they're just drawings. But they're drawings of things that aren't real. And the drawing isn't in colored pencil. It's drawing something that there isn't some correlate that's sort of, in our real world. It's drawing non-tangible, non-physical things. It's drawing no. And no is hard to draw. You can't make no out of an image of something physical. So it makes it out of feelings. So there, hard problem solved. There's no great mystery. It's just a machine that produces an output. Okay, so like your smartphone, it's just a machine. It produces outputs. It can beep, it can vibrate. And the fact is our brain can do what those objects can't do in the sense that it can imagine. And one of the things it can imagine is a feeling. It can create one. It can generate one. And it's just a function it has. And it's a very powerful function. Now, we say, why can't we synthesize it? Well, we can't synthesize it because we can't test for it. Because the only way we can know it is that something has to be able to react. It has to be able to speak a language we can speak to tell us, I'm feeling. So you don't know when you've made something that feels until it's already feeling, and then it can't talk and it can't tell you, I'm feeling, because it's a more primitive function. So there isn't any way to design on top of it, because you can never make it and know you made it. You can never tell the difference between steel and quicksand, so to speak. So you can never build anything on it, because you can never know that you finally made the quicksand solid. Some other analogy, I suppose, it would be more appropriate, but whatever. And these are just test instruments in a sense. It's how our brain tests the environment to produce better functionality, and basically governed by this. The crudest rules are just the you take, don't get taken, you first, give on to others after you've taken everything they have, and maybe give them back the stuff you don't want, or don't need, the strategies, all kinds of aggression and all kinds of crap we do to each other. And pretend we love them, I love you, but I'm going to cut your head off if you don't do what I say. Kind of crap. How badly people think is, that's a whole subject by itself, okay. And how inappropriately they feel, that's another whole subject. In terms of what motivates them and what their real outside of the pretense of being some kind of stated purpose of doing good, when the stated purpose is to make the world conform to what they wish it to produce for their personal victory. Now, as I've stated, I have some biases and some, guilt, and also having, in the way of separating myself from the fact that I find the world terrifying personally, and the very idea of coming back here as one of these monsters, extremely unappealing. So just for my personal safety, I would like to end the cycle just so I can personally exempt myself from the vulnerability of waking up with a nail in my eye, you know, and mommy saying, I love you. you know, that kind of thing. No, thank you. No, please. Spare me. The mundane average existence. It's almost worse than a deliberate torture is the indeliberate ones you live. But anyway, so it's there, but I'm still going to argue. I can make the logical argument independent of my own personal bias, as a victim, that victims have a right to have an advocate and to have an argument made in their defense that you really have no title. You don't own their welfare, and you don't have a right to tell them you're not worth the cupcake. You know, the cupcake is just so much more important than you are. Who cares if you're tortured? And who cares how many of them, of yous, there are? Okay, so this is, you're just, you know, you're just, it's the slave owner, you know, just rationalizing excuses for something that's inexcusable. And then you can just play some kind of numbers game. Well, how many are acceptable slaves can you own? Can you have 50, or can you have 20, or can you have 10, or can 2, or 1? How many slaves are you allowed to own? And the argument, I think, can be made that none is the answer. So until you just torture yourself, that is, until you stick your nails in your own eyes, you really don't have a right to, you know, press the button that basically allows you to spread the pain over a bunch of other people's, accept the fact that when you pulled the one arm bandit, it didn't come up skull and crossbone, skull and crossbone, skull and crossbone. You got lucky. You can't keep going to Vegas and playing the gambling devices when the winner and loser is not going to be you. It's going to be your family or your neighbor or somebody else. And you just like gambling. Well, you're just not, you don't have a right, frankly. Because they didn't consent to be a victim of your game playing. So I think that's a pretty good summing up. Oh, it's pretty damn good. So I don't know if there's much else in my notes. Let's see. So action, thought, feeling. So, I mean, you could argue that, yes, that's all there really are. And the feelings and the thoughts are just feedback loops. So they just, your brain keeps throwing them in until it, in your subconscious. I mean, you don't really decide when to stop thinking. You stop thinking before you stop thinking. Okay. Before you say, hey, it's time to stop thinking and do. Well, obviously you thought of that. Your subconscious made that sentence before you were aware that, oh yeah, that's what I'm doing. I've stopped. So you're really just watching your brain function. The aware thing sitting here doesn't really do anything but watch your brain make a you. You know, make you do this. I'm doing this. I didn't say do this. I didn't sit there and think about it or do any of that crap. No, my brain just thought about it in secret, and then it decided to do all of this stuff. It's just done. It just did this whole video. I mean, I can't even take any credit for any of it because I didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, I was just sitting here watching, just like you, me do this and do that and say this and say that, and I didn't say any of it. You know, I didn't think about it. I didn't write it down and it said it. Nothing. I didn't have much to do with it, so I'm saying. It's just a bunch of reflexes, a bunch of connected words and connected concepts and blah, blah, blah. And so clearly, I mean, a lot more processing is going on, you know, without our awareness than the processing we get to see a little piece of, you know. A little piece, and it's just a little. Oh, I see the little blue thing there. Oh, yeah, a little cupcake. You know, I notice a few things. It seems like I'm noticing them, but again, the subconscious has already done it before I did it. Okay, it happened on the small universe before the big universe had any clue it was happening, kind of thing. And so anyway, so it's all just feedback. It's just your brain just keeps processing, and then it triggers the notion of an end, where it says, I've put enough of the pieces of the puzzle together, the image is resolvable, mission complete. And so it completes whatever it's, whether it's thinking or feeling or whatever it's testing. It's testing the world, seeing if it's time to say something, not time to say something. There's some more appropriate sentence. I have to get to the more appropriate you know, it has a mission, sort of, and it decides when, you know, it's done with the mission. And we don't get to see how it makes that decision, but frankly, it's probably just some simple process, some idea of, there's enough puzzle pieces and they're in enough places where there's no insufficient loose ones for there to be some doubt about what the outcome is. So it's enough of a resolution to say shark. It's enough of a resolution to say good or bad. Good feeling, bad feeling. Torture is bad. Okay? I mean, there's a part where I could blur this image and you wouldn't see the nails in the guy's eye or something. All right? And so you'd be just like, oh, he's crying red. He has food coloring in his eyes. You could come up with some sort of bullshit. And then there's some point where, no, you get it. Okay, nails in the eye, blood, okay, I got that. You know, so there's some point where your brain resolves the image and says, this is what it is. I don't need to think about it anymore. So I'm just trying to get past this argument that there's any kind of complexity in the real process. It's just an assembly line of processing. So you have the stuff you've... The thinking part is just made out of your what you've been educated, okay, what you've read or heard, and what you've personally experienced in terms of how things work, how boats float and how you steer them. And you have to, you paddle on this side and you go that way, and you paddle on this side and you go this way. And so you learn these little tricks of the functionality. You learn, you know, your refrigerator door is a little bit off kilter, so you have to always remember to push it closed. Some sort of little crap that exists in your world that you learn to habituate yourself to, and it becomes a part of what reality is. Okay, and, you know, how you drink your whatever, whether you have a saucer under your cup, whether your pinky is extended. These are all just the nuances of your experience and what you've, again, seen, what you've imitated, what you found intriguing or what you found ugly, what you found attractive. All this stuff just adds up to how this feedback loop just keeps throwing the shit on there, and it either makes something ugly or it makes something beautiful. I mean, it does all of these different things. We can rationalize. You know, we can find ways to make it acceptable that I just farted in her face. You know, it's a love fart. You know, some sort of, you know, you can just contrive some sort of crap to, you know, turn it into a happily ever after story when it's really a horribly forever story. Yeah. So, let's see if I have anything else on the piece of paper. Stuff I can't read. Eyeballs aren't working as good as they used to. Let's see. Problem surviving. I don't know. Testing. I guess it's really just a puzzle idea is good enough, right? You're just testing the puzzle. You're just testing the pieces, testing the model, testing what's possible because you're running the scenario. And so you're smart enough to know dinosaurs don't exist anymore, so I don't have to worry about a dinosaur eating me as if I walk to the store. But there are some people that own pit bulls, and I have to walk by down that sidewalk, so maybe I should take the longer route where I don't walk past that fence with the pit bulls. So blah, blah, blah. So there are things that are real, and there are things that are, you know, you shouldn't even be considering. The meteor hitting you or some lightning strikes, all of that stuff, you should just kind of know, well, it's really low odds, so I can probably get away with that one. There's a higher odd that the, you know, there'll be a sinkhole under the sidewalk than, you know, there's going to be a bolt of lightning is going to hit me. So you can be educated and know probabilities and likelihoods and all of that kind of crap. And then you can even know on top of that that, well, maybe if I have some dog treats in my pocket, I can lower the odds that I get eaten by the dogs, you know, and some kind of thing like, you know. So you can, all kinds of strategies your brain produces just to do this kind of thing, navigate. Now, in these videos, I'm navigating a different kind of street. I'm navigating arguments, okay, that are descriptions of things like this drawing of reality, you know, this metaphor. You know, arguing that, okay, we can look at life and we can understand it. Okay, yeah, I can't take the, you know, the 7 billion human consciousnesses and the, I guess, trillions of other living organisms and place them in the puzzle and give you an image that makes it possible for you to appreciate all that stuff. So I have to do it in some other way. I have to turn the victims into one little kitten. Meow, one sad kitten. You know, I have to turn it into something. Okay, because you can only see 5 or 6 things in the image, okay? You can't see billions. I can't, you know, I can just show the one kid with cancer or something. Something to say this is the placeholder for really bad. And then I can try to make the argument that the really bad isn't worth this cardboard fake car. You know, you're standing behind driving around like you're really hot. You know, or whatever you're doing. Whatever the bullshit narrative is that you're saying to yourself to say it's all worth it. Well, I'm really winning. And, oh, wait till my kids get here. They're really going to be something because I'm so cool. I mean, how could my kids not be brilliant? I mean, you know, it's not like I'm pulling the one-armed bandit and it's possible that autism shows up. No, it's not going to happen to me. I'm immune to that. You know, some kind of crap like that. And that's what I'm arguing against, is people playing that kind of retarded game. That because it didn't happen to me, it doesn't happen. It doesn't exist on Earth because it doesn't have anything to do with me. I mean, really stupid people, frankly. Really ignorant. You're ignorant. Ignorant. Anyway, yeah, so time for a break. Says I. So I think that was good. I mean, I haven't felt like I did a video right in a while. That was pretty right. So I'm not dissatisfied. My brain is testing me and saying, you know, how did you do? And what do you, and it's like, okay, you know, it's rewarding itself. I mean, there is a bias here. It wants to be able to say, yes, you did a good job, brain. The brain wants to build a little trophy for itself and put a little trophy on the shelf and say, there, I did a good job. I can't, in thinking as fairly as possible and evaluating the performance, it just happens that, you know, in this case, my kid was better than everybody else's kid. You know, my little pile of thought creation, you know, really did do the job. It really was a good little hunk of verbal slop that I threw on the, it's like the drawing thing, you know, I did it well enough, you know. The vomit looks pretty cool, however you want to metaphor it. Anyway, so I'll take a break. Reprocess. That's all we can do, is just keep processing and reprocessing and, you know, refining and trying to create, I hate to say it, but, you know, like, indestructible perfect words. And so this is it's a difficult task to sit there and take the slop of our very complex emotional life and try to turn that into words that are going to be able to convey the power of it, what we feel and what we understand something to mean, And to be able to say it in these little stupid words and make them pop into another head and create, you know, a whale, you know, with a little green hat on. You know, it's a lot more complicated than just a whale with a green hat. Anyway, now I'll pause. All right, I'm back. So, difficult part. You know, trying to add value, okay, to what was already stated and was pretty focused, and now I'm going to play with the lens, and I'm probably going to knock some things out of focus in an attempt to refine the focus. So that occurred to me. Bug planet, okay, it's a bug planet, and there's not much you can do here except be king of the bugs, and that's what humanity has accomplished. So it calls itself civilized, but the fact is that it's, you know, it called itself civilized when it was still bullfighting, and it calls itself civilized in cultures that are still cockfighting and dogfighting and doing other kinds of gratuitously torturous and horrible things, and they call that civilization, okay? I mean, torturing the little veals and bleeding the pigs out, they call that civilization. And obviously it's not very, doesn't really meet the definition. It's not as well considered, thoughtful, and scientifically constructed as they wish to believe themselves to have achieved in terms of maximizing logic and composition of ideas. It's not made of steel. It's made of wood. Okay, so it's better than quicksand. But it's wood, okay? It's just not good enough. You don't put the Empire State Building on top of it. You don't risk harm and torture on this rickety structure of your word, civilization, when you really haven't achieved it, frankly. I know, okay? Because I'm civilized. All right, so anyway, you can only tell by going higher and seeing the lowland for what it is. You know, it's the kind of thing. You can't see the swamp from underneath. You have to see it from above, kind of argument. You have to be outside of it to be able to see what it is, kind of argument. And that's just the way it is. You don't see stupid until you got smart. And so I can just, you know. Yeah, I'm telling you. Your model is rickety and based on a bunch of silly assumptions and presumptions that you've thrown into your view of reality. And I can build a much harder, sturdier structure, physical structure of ideas and notions that are superior to yours. So that's why I have a website called Do Not God. It's because that's an obviously simple one. Okay, it's such a poor logical choice. I mean, it's such a silly thing to do to imagine, you know, Captain Kangaroo or something and just make him into God. I mean, it's so badly evidenced, and the reasoning to defend it is so silly, just in the sense we know humans are liars, and we know they tell fish stories, and we know the whole book of stories doesn't mean anything. Immaculate conceptions, do you really believe it? You're really that stupid? You're that big a sucker? You fall for that crap? Why would God hide himself in the birth of a common human? I mean, why would that, you know, what a dumb idea. Yeah, no way. So you make all these logical arguments about all the, why it makes no sense to believe any of these fairy tales about the creator, okay, when there's absolutely no evidence of any fingerprint or footprint or any mark at all made by God's knife. There's just no evidence at all of anything intelligent having anything to do with the bug planet. It's obviously easily attributed to mechanical systems like evolution, a process of attrition that we see every day, you know, the octopus doesn't have 10,000 babies because God thought it was a great idea. Okay, it's because evolution said it was a great idea. Okay, because they get, oh, too many of them get eaten. So we'll just make so many of them that they can't eat them all. It's an obvious strategy. And then the strategy of the human being to make every baby a precious and carry it with you and nurture it and grow it and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's likewise. You can see why evolution made it incompetent and why human babies are so poorly functional is that they do need to be programmed. They need an operating system that can't be built in because it needs to have the... It needs to know the difference between a Chinaman and an American. It needs to know the difference between a short person and a tall person. It needs to know the difference between being a swimmer and being a walker. And humans are diversified, and they can function in any environment. So they need to be effectively programmed to their environment, to their role in society, even. You could say as a civilization, although we're not an ant colony, and we're not forcing people to be workers and peasants and this and that. There is an awful lot of that that actually exists in human history, and that we have been stuck in roles, and that might be part of the reason also is that it's conducive to better role playing. Okay, do like mommy and daddy have taught you to create this crippled baby that's going to be completely controlled by in terms of its destiny, what the parents are capable of creating as a civilization, kind of thing. That metaphor is probably a little too distant from the basic point, okay? It's just a bug planet. There's nothing else going on here. And it can be understood that all we're doing is trying to mitigate against all the imperfections that exist in the lack of civilization that exists on a bug planet. All the badly reasoned ambition and poorly constructed solutions, like putting solar panels on roofs. You know, instead of maximizing the functionality of the technology, you sacrifice half of its functionality so some people can make some money. So some capitalists can capitalize. Not doing what's socially right, just do what is in the interest of the selfish. That kind of crap. So we're really far from being civilized. And we're really just mitigating against some of the imperfections in our bugness. So every now and then we'll have a little lamenting moment about how we spend more on our pets than we spend on whatever, curing cancer or something. Some other kind of nonsense, okay, that's not very logical thing, where our priorities seem a little bent crooked. That we should be sacrificing more for the benefit of the future. We should be curing, you know, its diseases, instead of fretting over our minor, you know, I have a scratch, it's healing slowly, so I need a better Band-Aid, you know, so we'll spend, you know, the resources on the Band-Aids instead of spending the resources on the cure for the future, compromising so much because we're still bugs, okay? And the few of us who are truly civilized realize the future is much bigger than the present, and that if we really loved humanity or cared about life on Earth or did any of this stuff in any kind of reasoning way, any kind of logical way, we would recognize that, yes, we are sacrificable for the precious, the future. That it is bigger than us, it is better than us, it's all that kind of stuff. There's so much more at stake. You know, one tiny bit of cure now is just worth so much in terms of value, of preventing harm and pain and suffering. So if we care about this stuff, harm and pain and suffering, then we should be doing something to mitigate against the buckets of it that we're looking right at because of idiocracy and the fact that people are way underqualified and there's way too many of them and they're way too inefficient in their functionality, and they're getting worse and worse in a way that they're almost toxic to each other's existence, and they're just heading for civil conflicts, and it's just going to be a lot of waste created because we couldn't grow up and take responsibility for what we really are, which is just bugs. And that bugs need to, if you're going to have a civilization of bugs, they're going to be needed to be restrained. They're going to need to be on leashes, and they're going to be need to have a, you know, card they have to punch, and they have to have, you know, be obligated to walk the right path, because bugs don't like to do that. They don't like being civilized. Civilization is repugnant to the notion that it is, from the player's perspective, a single player game. And there's nothing in the nature that says imagine the rest of the world as you and all of that kind of stuff. That's what being smart gives you, is the ability to imagine being the slave instead of being the slave owner. Not complicated, but I'm just saying that this is what it requires, is you doing a lot of that kind of thinking if you're going to be civilized, if you're going to be functioning at a higher level. These are little facts you have to recognize. So there's no God. You're stuck in a bug's body, frankly. And now you have to make the bug perform much better than a bug. Okay, through idea manipulation and control of your psychology and your the motivating mechanisms, all the way to the point where you have to be, you know, sort of comfortable with the idea that you might have to sacrifice everything for the future. That someday it might happen. The grenade might roll into the trench, and it'll be your turn to pay, to give your full measure of devotion to the fact that you understand the truth, and you understand what the truth requires. And you appreciate that's the obligation, is to always honor the better model, the better constructed model that understands it's a multiplayer game. And beyond just a multiplayer game, it's a multi-epoch game. And the epochs of the future are the only ones we can save. They're the only rescuables. There's no point in pulling the dead bodies out of the water. The idea is to preserve the ones who are suffering and drowning, and to spare them that pain and suffering. Shoot them. If you can't save them, shoot them. That's the obligation. I mean, grown-up people know that, right? I mean, grown-up people know if the animal's suffering, they have to kill it. And they don't want to kill it. They don't want to have any part of it. But they know that's the obligation, is to try to give it as graceful an exit as possible, because nature will torture it if they don't step in and mitigate against that. And that's what intelligence teaches you. You don't do it because you want to kill something. You don't do it because you want to brutalize something. You do it because you have to save civilization. That's why they had a World War II, is to save civilization. And people did give their full measure of devotion and did pay a very high price to create the future we're living, their future that we're living in. And I've said it before, but aren't you a little bit embarrassed that this is the world they died for? This disgusting, putrid, crass, ugly world. Yeah. You should really cry on Memorial Day, because, frankly, good men died for a pretty crappy outcome, a pretty crappy victor. We didn't do much with our victory. Civilization didn't win, and that's just a fact. Maybe there was no way it could have won, but the point is it didn't win, because we've allowed it, the social structure, to get more, the social garden, to get inundated by weeds and choked and starved, and the ugliest parts of humanity are now controlling the selfish and the wimps, and the broken I wanters. Another political stories that will just spare you politics. Yuck. I mean, just evidence of how dysfunctional it is. We can't find a human being to actually be a respectable president. We can't find one that's young enough or smart enough. Nope. And we're just electing clowns. Just overt, big, giant-shoed clowns. Bugs. All right. So, yeah, that's probably enough. I feel enough. Yeah, I can feel it. Feel the enoughness. So I'm not going to bother with another pause and another effort to give this a more poignant, whatever. It's enough of a poke. So we'll leave it at that. I think I said mostly my piece, so to speak. And, yeah, we'll see where it goes from there. So maybe we'll just pop this back on for fun and such. So, yeah, that's enough. there's nothing to say. We're stuck in a horrible dilemma. The game is basically to try to get people to understand that we're paying way too much for way too little. And that's really bad. And because the payment is in torture, frankly. And you can't squander or waste torture and be called civilized or reasonable or any of that. You can't defend the waste of torture. That's bug thinking. Okay, that's even a bug could do better, frankly. So anyway, a little knowledge and, how much would it mean to other, you can imagine other animals evolving intelligence, and even though they would have even greater liabilities than us, the fact is they might have a greater sense of devotion to principle, and principle just might be a guiding thing, and integrity and pride. Maybe they'd have way too much pride to fail, where humans apparently don't have enough pride not to be perfectly comfortable with failing dismally. And such. Yeah, so that's probably enough. All right, so till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. This has been a DoNotGod.com video presentation. I appreciate your attention. And till the next time and such.